Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutun.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then we consider what you know of the news of the day. Now, as the country eases restrictions on movement and social gatherings, how should individuals, families, enterprises and venues be thinking about testing, which remains underused in our public health toolkit? Now that over-the-counter rapid antigen home test kits are readily available, questions remain over its cost, its accessibility, and and the frequency of use. Now, what should our testing strategy be, and how can we ensure its success? Amrahi Buang is the president of the Malaysian Pharmacist Society, and he joins us now. Amrahi, do you think that the public largely understands the role of self-testing? And how to do it and when to do it. And I'm just wondering whether you think there's been enough done to educate us about self-testing.
Hi, Melissa. So good evening to you and Sharad. I think the most important thing, the most important thing is that when you talk about these self-test kits, they can be performed by a person at home or anywhere. Right? That's number one. Number two, while doing this, all instructions for performing the test must be followed. Okay? The third point is self-test can be used by anyone who is symptomatic regardless of their vaccination status. Okay? That means you can use it. Anyone can use it, yeah? The fourth one is unvaccinated person with no COVID-19 symptoms can also use self-test, especially if they are potentially exposed to someone with COVID-19. And it is very important if an individual tests positive, they should isolate and inform any close contact. So these are all the basic things that we have to know about the self-test kit, Melissa.
Tamri, this is very interesting. You bring up some really kind of fundamental points. I want to pick up one of them, which is for those who are vaccinated, being symptomatic. Now, what should people take as a sign that they need to be tested? Is it just flu-like symptoms, or should they? What bar is there in terms of feeling sick in order to be tested for COVID-19?
I think the most important thing now is when you're going to use this, right? So we are talking about if you have any symptom of the COVID-19 infection, then you can actually test, to do a test to see whether it's positive or negative. And this is something that needs to be done. Or now, as you all mentioned earlier, that now people want to travel and they want to make sure that their status is, positive or negative. And if they are negative, then, of course, they can travel. I know they feel at ease to go to travel. But if they are positive, of course, they have to isolate and inform any close contact. So that is the fundamentals, Sharad.
So it's not just about travel, right? As we open up, as we, resume kind of daily life activity, I'm just wondering about the challenges and the access barriers to widespread adoption of home testing. We may know what to do and when to do it, but are there challenges? And I know the government has capped the price of home test kits at 19 ringgit 90 cents, but is that still too high? Is that cost preventative, cost prohibitive that will, disincentivize people from self-testing?
Well, I think you rightly mentioned about the action taken by the government regarding the price control measures of the test kits, yeah? And we pharmacists actually, our community pharmacists have learned from previous experience with respect to price control of the face mask during the beginning of the COVID-19 last year. And now with the self-test kits, I think a few weeks ago, when the government actually set what you call the when they actually do the what you call a new price control, and not given us the time, you know, to clear our stock, then it become a big problem for all of us, lah. Yeah, and so overcoming, yeah.
No, I want. Sorry, we're running out of time. Very quickly, I want to ask you: what is the solution, both from the consumer side and the government side? Do you think that test kits should be subsidized by the government, or should we wait for cheaper products to come into the market in order to make this more viable?
I think the most important thing is that, as you mentioned, is very clear. You know, I'm sure the government is going to bring down the price. And actually, they have actually informed us, and we are ready to face the eventuality. Meaning that we have actually informed our pharmacists that the price will go down, and they have to be ready and to make sure that they clear their stock so that they will not have any loss.
All right. Well, Amrei, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Amrei Buang there of the Malaysian Pharmacists Society. A quick break here on Consider This, but more on the topic of testing in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. Hello, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. Joining us on the show now is Dr. Koh Kar Chai, the new president for the Malaysian Medical Association. This is for the 2021 and 2022 term. Casey, can we begin our conversation tonight with perhaps you explaining why the importance of self-testing, particularly as we enter an endemic COVID-19 phase? There seems to be this widespread belief that, you know, if most COVID breakthrough cases are going to be mild or asymptomatic, why bother with antigen tests at all? I mean, can you help address some of those beliefs?
Well, I think everyone is, they are harping on whether it's going to be in the pandemic phase or an endemic phase. But as far as the public is concerned, all they need to know is the virus is still living among us. Right. And the reason why we ask them to right now, we are encouraging self-testing. The reason why we ask them to do that is that even though you may be asymptomatic or you may be having mild symptoms, you should realize that category 3, 4, and 5, or rather the severe cases, they progress from the asymptomatic to those who are mildly symptomatic up to, you will progress. And apart from that, what about the people you come in contact with? For example, if a person is asymptomatic or having mild symptoms and think nothing of it, and you do not realize that you're actually positive, then you will be transmitting the disease to others, and you are one of those spreaders of the disease. That's the reason why we encourage self-testing.
Yeah, so Casey, so the question really is when? Should it, because a test is a snapshot in time, right? And true. It can be taken, as we understand, too early between a first contact and so on. So, so when is it, and how do people know when exactly to test? And are we encouraging people to test frequently?
Well, of course, if they exhibit symptoms, it's a no-brainer. They would have to test themselves, right? The problem are those who have no symptoms at all. They may be infected or they may not be. So you're right. What you say is correct. It's just a snapshot, but that's how it is. We can't really test everyone every day. So one would be as far as the people who are working in the factories or maybe even in office, a regular test of maybe if they can afford it once a week, or which is what is being practiced by most people now. They do it at least once a fortnight, right? But then, of course, you must understand that if you want to travel to certain places, you want to visit elderly people, your loved ones and all that, then you can always test yourself prior to, making a visit to your loved ones or to people whom you think may be susceptible to the disease.
once a week to self-test at 20 ringgit per test, do you think mm-hmm. that that might discourage a lot of people from practicing self-testing at home?
Yes, well, I did not exactly say 1 week. It can be a fortnight as well, but what you say is true. 20 ringgit for some people may be nothing, but for a lot of us, spending once or twice of 20 ringgit is okay, it's not too bad, but if you're going to do a regular testing, it will add up to your, you know, monthly expenditure. And we should be happy that the health minister has already, you know, looked into this matter and said that he's going to bring the price even further to make it affordable to the masses.
Yeah, we've been thinking sometimes as if, or you know, most of us exist as individuals, but of course, they're families, and a small family of four or five, you know, presumably testing should be administered to all of them, including the school-going children. And so then you're looking at not 20 ringgit, but 20 ringgit times five for every instance of testing for the family, right? Do you think, Casey, that the government needs actually to bite the bullet on this and subsidize testing so that it's not just the market that is setting the prices, but that, you know, the government is showing its determination to make this as widely available as possible?
Mm. Well, looking at the economic situation of a country, sometimes, you know, we'll be a bit worried to ask for the government for any more things. But what you say is very true, very correct. For those who can afford, like I said, well, we can leave them be. But for the masses, those who need to test their children or test the whole family so often, I think the government, number one, what they are doing in trying to bring down the prices is very good. Well, of course, there's always a limit as to how much lower can they bring, because we do not know what is the actual cost of production as all, and also the cost of bringing in these tests. The government should look at subsidies as well. For those who can't afford to pay the full price, there should be some form of subsidy.
Do you see this testing being incorporated into kind of either policy or just our daily life, our daily activity, the same way we have to show proof of vaccination when we, you know, we want to do certain things or go into certain premises? Might we adopt the way certain countries have practiced showing negative self-test results?
Well, policies are always good, but then sometimes, you know, policies, some people may feel that you are, you know, forcing something upon them. So apart from policy, I would say that the government should embark more on awareness to inform the public that, you know, by doing self-tests, you're actually doing yourself some good by sort of like that diagnosing yourself early. And apart from that, you will be, how we say, you won't be spreading the disease around if by chance you are infected. So the incidence of or the prevalence of this disease may be brought down by frequent testing. So policy is good, but it will also depends on where you're going to apply the policy to. You cannot just say that, you know, it's a policy that every other venue or every other establishment which you walk in, you must show proof that you have been tested negative. I think that those are policies may be a bit difficult to enforce and to bring up anyway.
Casey, you know, in this wonderful acronym, the FTTIS, the Find, Test, Trace, right. Isolate, and Support, right. The support issue is the one that often is a real challenge, because what it means is that there must be somebody at the other end of the line helping you understand, now that you've tested positive, what you should do to continue to monitor you and so on and so forth. Have you seen any efforts to build up the support capacity in the ecosystem of, you know, finding, testing, tracing, isolating, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth?
The support which you mentioned just now actually is taking place. In the initial phase of the pandemic, I think most of us couldn't understand how the disease will progress. And we were also shorthanded. I'm talking about the public sector side. They were very shorthanded and they did not know how to really approach it. But the credit is due to them, because now the support is given via our MySejahtera app, where, you know, where they have to report themselves, and then there'll be sort of virtual sort of follow-up being done via the MySejahtera app. And also you have the officers from the CACs, the COVID Action Centers in the public sector, whereby they will call the patients up, call the people who are on home quarantine and all that. And don't forget, they are also CAC GPs. That means they are general practitioners who have also signed on to these support services, whereby they are sort of like trained by the Ministry of Health to look after these patients in category 1 and 2 who are on home quarantine. So this support service is being offered by both the public sector and the private sector at this present moment of time.
Casey, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight and sharing those insights. That was Dr. Kolkachai of the Malaysian Medical Association. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this, but stay tuned. We'll be back with more. Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. We're discussing home self-testing and a national testing strategy and how to ensure its success. We have joining us now Associate Professor Dr. Farhan Rusli. He's a public health medicine specialist at International Islamic University, Malaysia. He's also the director of the Selangor Task Force Operations. Farhan, welcome to the show. I just want to begin our conversation talking about self-test kits, now that over-the-counter rapid antigen home test kits are readily available, there still seems to be a lot of confusion about when to do it and the necessity to do it. For instance, do we only test ourselves when we are symptomatic?
It's good that you lead with that, Mel, because this is exactly the reason why more than ever, we should have rolled out our national testing strategy perhaps 3 months ago. Because as we open up the borders, as we open up a lot more sectors, and as we talk about endemicity, we are going to tell people that they are now supposed to be responsible and taking care of themselves. However, you cannot assume people know when to do. Take yourself, for example. Do you take your test every week? Do you take it every month? How do you fit yourself into which category? Are you high risk? Are you low risk? And if you're from the media, there are different categories of the media, and it's going to be impossible for us to actually develop a plan for the millions of Malaysians. We cannot develop 3-4 different national testing plan for the media, 3-4 testing plan for the schools. Rather, what should be done is we have very few profiles, perhaps 4 profiles, where the majority of the Malaysians can put themselves in. It's akin to just the sizing of a school uniform. You got S, you got M, you got L, you got XL, and you can fit the entire population using these 4 sizes. So that is the profiles that should have, and all the Malaysians will be able to categorize themselves into these 4 different categories, and they will know, okay, I'm in category C, so therefore this is my testing strategy and this is the regime that I should abide by.
And Farhan, I'm a double XL, I can confess now, but you know, let me say that, you know, I learned just today, speaking to our first guest, Amrahi Boang from the Malaysian Pharmacist Society, that my test kits, which I bought, have an expiry date. And, you know, lo and behold, here I am, a reasonably intelligent person, quite unaware of the things I have bought and unaware of how to use it. Have we done enough to kind of just educate the population? And have we relied too much, again, on things like the digital platforms to do so?
Well, Sharad, I always have assumed that you are in the smart category.
Yes.
The ability.
It's really critical.
Right, we're having actually a little bit of an audio disruption from Dr. Farhan, just to check whether we can get him back on the line. But again, as he was just saying, we're talking about the need for a national testing strategy. I really like what he was saying about the different kind of categories and how you risk yourself. You have a risk profile for yourself. Dr. Farhana, are you?
Do we have Farhana back on the line,
on the line with us?
Do you guys have me on?
Yes, we
yes,
do now.
Okay. There he is. Yes, okay. Right. Sorry yes. to interrupt.
So, could you repeat yourself? You started with saying that was smart, Farhan.
I'll go from there. So as much as smart as you are, the majority of Malaysians are still unable to actually comprehend on how they are able to do the test. So if you ask whether we've done enough, definitely we haven't, because even you yourself, you don't know how to do it. And this is exactly why it's extremely necessary that we have to ensure that we are able to give the proper awareness, the proper channel for people to have access to this testing strategy. So this is why I keep saying that the national testing strategy is not only telling people that they should get themselves tested, but it rather encompasses a more holistic approach where it's from the health promotion side and all the other avenues that's needed for you to accomplish what you want from a national testing strategy.
Okay, so if I were to use your example of having different categories, so you find out what your testing regime should be based on your exposure, how then should we be thinking about who shoulders that burden? Is it entirely down on the individual to self-test and shoulder the cost?
Well, if you have to look about it like this, right? How have we approached all these other different kinds of diseases, such as dengue, such as diabetes? COVID is just another disease that we're going to get ourselves accustomed to. Now, we understand that there's a need and there's a gap between the people who can afford testing and the people who probably cannot afford to buy it. At the same time, you have to start thinking, when is testing too much or when is it too little? Because there'll be a lot of people who will just keep testing themselves because they feel that it's a need for them, because they don't understand when they should get tested. At the same time, for the groups of people who need to get tested, you should start looking at how subsidies can be used to actually target these people. So when you go for the B40 groups, they already have subsidies that are allocated for them, the 1,000 and such. Why don't you use some of that allocation rather than adding more allocations to it and use part of it for their health aspect so that they know when they should get tested according to the categories that we have actually placed them in?
Farhan, could you help us understand the logic of testing? I'll take an example like travel. Since a lot of people now are thinking about traveling and there are no requirements for them to test, say they were going to Langkawi and we're just told that Langkawi doesn't now require you to test, should they still do the test? And at which stage should they do the test and so on and so forth?
Well, I think the most important thing that people must understand is this. You're not testing for yourself, okay? When you go to Langkawi, why do you test? You're not testing for yourself or the people on the plane because everyone there is vaccinated. So even if you are positive and you may infect somebody else on the plane, both of you may likely have very low risk of getting into the hospital. But if you go to Langkawi and you're positive and you actually infect orang-orang in the kampung who are yet to be vaccinated or have refused vaccination, those people can end up actually dying because of you failing to test yourself. So this is the onus that we're trying to actually explain to people when we open up the borders, when we say you can go out all the way, go back to your kampungs and to the villages and everything. You are safe. And if you get COVID, you are pretty much covered. But if you don't get yourself tested and you pass the disease to someone who's unvaccinated, the problem is that you are going to perhaps kill those people. And it will happen. And believe me, in the coming weeks, this will actually happen.
Right. Well, on that note, I'm just going to give a reminder to everyone watching about our responsibility to self-test and self-test frequently. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, Dr. Farhan Rusli, the public health medicine specialist, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. Before we leave you, a reminder that the latest information on COVID-19 vaccines is readily available at our website, astroawani.com, as well as our Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching the show. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you for watching. Good night.